You're listening to RightDivision.com, brought to you by No Side Bible Church.
Are a good crowd. You're good to be here. We're glad you're here tonight. I probably get more requests for this song than anyone we do, so here it is. Well, I'm tired and so weary, but I must go along till the Lord and calls me away. Oh yes. Well, the morning is bright and the Lamb is the light, and the night is as bright as the day. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no troubles I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Well, the bear will be gentle, and that old wolf, he will be tame, and the lion, he will lay down by the Lamb. Oh yeah. And that old beast from the wild, he will be led by a child. And I'll be changed from this creature that I am. Thank God I will. There will be peace in the valley for me someday. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh Lord, I pray there'll be no sadness, no sorrow, no trouble I see. There will be peace in the valley for me. Oh yeah, there will be peace in the valley for me.
Peace in the Valley. Good song. If you'd like to have a Bible, would you lift your hand? We'll have some people bring you one. Okay, good. Keep them up till you get the Bible. And when you get it, turn to the 139th Psalm. Psalm 139. Now let me tell you this about the Bible. If you don't have a Bible here in Odessa, you just keep that one as a gift to the rec room, from the rec room. If you're just using it for tonight, if you would, don't leave it in your chair. Would put it on the table at the back of the room, if you would, and that will help us have them all together. I've got to talk to you about something tonight that is very, very unpopular. It's not the theme of today's ministerial people. It's not the theme of today's TV preachers. If you watch TV preachers, you won't see Joel Osteen ever dealing with this subject. You'll not see Kenneth Copeland referring to the scriptures we're going to talk about tonight. You won't see Jesse Duplantis talking about the place we're going to talk about tonight. You won't see Joyce Meyer dealing with this subject. Max Licato won't write a book on it. Charles Stanley won't have a series on it. Billy Graham won't touch it. And some of you already know what that subject is. It has to do with hell. And we've just almost grown silent. In fact, what is amazing, that every new Bible, English Bible that comes out, has changed the word hell from as little, the word appears 54 times in the Bible. They've changed it as little as 22 times and as many as 41 times. And if you're reading any other Bible tonight than the good old Bible that your grandma got saved under, which is the King James Version of the Bible, you won't find this word sometime. You'll find a word that's a transliteration. It'll be Hades. Hades is not a translation, it's transliteration. Translation is hell. Or if it's in the Hebrew, it'll be a word called Sheol. Now, all of you have heard first year Greek students give you a very enlightening lecture on agape, which they can't find it if they tried to. But agape is a word for love, but agape is a transliteration. You have transliterations when you deal from a different alphabet. You wouldn't have it in Spanish because we're dealing with the same ABCs. But you'd have it in Chinese, you'd have it in Hebrew, you'd have it in Greek, because they deal with a different alphabet. So a transliteration would be to take that word and spell it with our alphabet, and how would it sound? And in Greek, we turn that to Hades. But if we translated it, we'd call it hell. And so 54 times, Old Testament, New Testament, Jesus Christ himself, in fact, in the New Testament, the most fervent preacher about hell was Jesus Christ. He talked about it more than other preachers. And hell is a literal place. Notice Psalms 139:8, which says this, "If I ascend into heaven, thou art there, and if I make my bed in hell, behold, thou art there." Now this tells us very quickly that hell is not separation from God. Because he said, if I make my bed in hell, God, you'll go with me. David the psalmist said that. But it's as real as heaven. He said, I'm going to heaven and go to hell. But both places are real. They're literal. They're not a figment of your imagination. They're not some figure of speech. They are as real as they can be. They're not just a cuss word. They're real. Another thing about that, and turn with me back in Psalms to chapter 9. And we find that hell is a place where human beings are punished for their sins. Psalms chapter 9 and verse 17 says this, "The wicked shall be turned into hell, and all nations." That's for good God. It's a place for wicked people. It's where people suffer for their sins. Look at Psalms 116. 116 said the pangs of hell. Psalms 116:3. I'm sorry, I didn't give you the verse. Psalms 116:3 said the pains of hell got hold of me. It's a place of pain. It's not bliss. The sorrows of death compassed me. The pains of hell got hold upon me. I found trouble and sorrow. That's what hell is. It's a bad, bad place. The rich man in Luke that died and said in hell, he lift up his eyes. And we find there it was a place of torment. He said, I'm tormented. He said, Father Abraham, I'm tormented. It's a place of constant pain and hurt. Now, some of you had pain. You've had it for a good while. I thought for years that the worst pain I'd ever had, back when I was in college, I got a knee tore up playing football, and I remember getting hit and on that knee, and I'm telling you the pain. For years, I told everybody the worst pain I'd ever had was that knee getting hit. And I told everybody that until I had a kidney stone. Let me tell you, you talk about hurting. You talk about hurting all over from every direction. Somebody said that having a kidney stone was like childbirth. I said, I'm gonna tell you one thing, this old boy had been childish. There'd been no kids in my family if that's the case. Goodness, you talk about pain. It's a place of torment. Psalms 18:5 said, the sorrows of hell compass me. It's a place of weeping and crying and moaning and hurting. These are descriptions of hell, a literal place. In that man that said, I'm tormented, he also said, what he said, I'm tormented in this flame. It's a place where people are burned. I'm tormented in this flame. It hurts. It's a place you can't leave. He said, send Lazarus. And Abraham said, you can't move from there and he can't come to you. Once you're there, you're there. There's no getting out. Look at Matthew chapter 10. These are the words of Jesus Christ. Matthew chapter 10 and verse 28. And fear not them which kill the body, but are not able to kill the soul, but rather fear him who is able to destroy both soul and body in hell. This is what Jesus said. These are his words. Now, a lot of people today say, I do not believe. I hear this constantly. I do not believe that a loving God would let anybody go to hell. Now, if God's really love, that, in fact, that's what the reason some people are atheists, the reason some of them were Darwin people. If there was a good God, he wouldn't be involved with all this mess. He wouldn't let anybody go to hell. Turn with me now to 2 Peter chapter 3, if you would. 2 Peter, way over to the right before we get to the book of Revelation. You've gone a little far. But 2 Peter chapter 3. And here it tells us something about God toward us. Verse 9, it said, the Lord is not slack concerning his promises, as some men count slackness, but is long-suffering to usward. And listen to this. Not willing that any should perish, but that all should come to repentance. He's not willing that anybody go to hell. This is not his choice. Keep this in mind. This is not God's law. He's not trying to find a bunch of folks that he can punish. This is not what he's about. He's not willing that any should perish. It didn't say he's not willing that many. He said he's not willing that any should perish. Now then, go back with me. Let me give you a perfect illustration of this. Go back with me to the 23rd chapter of Matthew. This is toward the end of Christ's earthly ministry. Matthew 23 and verse 37. And Jesus has been speaking to the Pharisees. He's been chewing them out in a big way. But then in verse 37, he changes his tone and he looks at his city, Jerusalem. Listen carefully to what he said. He said, "O Jerusalem, Jerusalem, thou that killeth the prophets and stoneth them which are sent unto thee, how often would I have gathered thy children together, even as a hen gathereth her chickens under her wings, and you would not." Let me paraphrase this a little bit to 2011, and I don't think it'll make any injury to the scripture whatsoever. But what if he said, "Oh, Billy, Joe, Henry, Leland, Mary, Charlene, Susie, oh, how begged you. Oh, you have cursed me. You have ignored me. You have laughed at me. You have run from me. Oh, little, you run from me. And how often did I want you to come? How many times? How many rec room invitations have you set through? How many times in chapel has somebody give that invitation and you turned your back again? How many times in church has somebody said, "Would you come and trust Christ?" How many times has somebody handed you a tract and you read that tract and at the end of that tract it said, "Would you trust Jesus Christ as your Savior?" You just threw it away. He said, how many times? How many times have you done this to me? And how many times have I tried to get you to come to me? I've begged you. I've come this direction, that direction. And as an old mother hen would take her chickens and hover her wings over them to protect them, I wanted you to come. I sent my son to die for you to get you to heaven. I sent my preachers to tell you about hell and heaven. I've sent folks to talk to you. I've sent family members. I've sent other people to you. How often would have done this to you? Over and over and over. And notice the last phrase. And you would not. You would not. Oh, you would not. How long? How many times do we say no to the precious Son of God? How many times has He called our name? He says, "Here's what I want from you. I want to be your Savior. I want to protect you. I want to love you. I don't want you to perish. Even though you're doing all those things, even though you're cussing me, even though you ignored me, even though you're mocking me, how many times have I just wanted to pull you in and gather you in, and you would not?" See, God didn't let them go to hell. They chose to go. They would not. Here's heaven. Here's safety. Here's paradise. You would not. You chose. I don't guess there's a day that's as ever important as the day that we trust Christ. The battle, the verbal battle, or in my case, that's what it was, with God. And making every excuse in the world. I can't do this. I can't do that. I can't do something else. Making every excuse. God kept tugging and the Holy Spirit keeps tugging. And I know I've told some of you this before. I don't mean to be boring with it. But the last words I said before stepping down that aisle was, "Lord, here goes nothing." It took me quite a few years to learn how much of nothing that stepped out. It was nothing. He was everything and I was nothing. And I tell you what, the first step removed the load, removed the weight. Before I ever got to the front, the battle had already been won. It was won when I said, "Here goes nothing. I turn it over to you, Jesus." I want you to bow your heads. Head bowed and eyes closed, nobody looking around. You're here tonight, and maybe one more time you heard Jesus speak to you. One more time you're hearing Him call your name. You know who He's talking to. And you got it. You can. As He said, you would not. Because how often have I called you by name and you would not? How many chances have I given you? How many chances have you had? This week I did a funeral for a young man, 47 years of age, had been a parole officer, now parole supervisor, goes to the doctor, has a small procedure done, comes home, goes to bed, and then passes out into eternity. Some of you, every day you pick up the paper, somebody's gone out into eternity. Some tragically, some very easily, but all forever. They won't be back. Would you come home tonight? Is He calling you? I want you to stand with heads bowed and eyes still closed, nobody looking around. As Charles sings a verse, "Jesus is calling," I want you to step out right now and say, "I want to trust Jesus. I've said no long enough. I've turned my back on Him long enough." Would you stand to your feet? Heads bowed, eyes closed. Come on. Softly and tenderly He's calling you. Would you come? Come on. One more time He's calling. Would you come? Somebody here. Would you come? Would you come? What's God want you to do? Come on. And you would not. One more verse. If no one comes, we're through. Are you doing what God wants you to do? Come on. That's it. Come on. Precious Heavenly Father, we pray that one that should have come tonight will have another opportunity. Father, we know you've called and you've called. And I don't know why we put you off. I just know that I did and people still do. And Father, I'm sorry. But would you give them another chance? You don't have to. I know that. You've given them a multitude of chances. But one more time to hear this message, the amazing grace that you've given us. Now bless the one that did come. Have your own way, Father, with us. Go with us this week. Protect us. Bless you people. Watch over them. In Christ's name we pray. Amen. Don't forget the what have I done, what I do now. The refreshments are back open. Thank you for being here. If you'll put your Bibles on the back table, we'd appreciate it.
His name is wonderful, Jesus my Lord.
You've been listening to a lesson provided by Northside Bible Church. Our assembly is excited to bring you many studies to help the Christian grow in the knowledge of Christ Jesus, rightly divided. If you live in the greater Oklahoma City area, we welcome you to come and fellowship with us each Sunday. Sunday school begins at 10:15 and church service at 11. Otherwise, we hope you enjoy all the many audio lessons and Bible studies found on rightdivision.com. Questions regarding today's lesson or on any material on the website can be sent to our email address, which is questions@rightdivision.com. Or feel free to write us at Northside Bible Church, P.O. Box 20777, Oklahoma City, Oklahoma 73156. Thanks again for listening, and be sure and study your Bible today.